So why don't we start out just having a conversation about what happened with Mark? We just said, let's, whoa, we just said,
what was
let's,
that?
I don't know.
Mark?
What the fuck, man? It's Mark.
All I heard was ding, 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 ding.
I did. I heard that too. I hope it's recorded. I don't know what that was. Huh.
Shit.
Wow.
All right, well.
All right. Greetings, savory inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider, the unofficial podcast of the Anne Rice Immortal Universe. Each week, co-hosts Joanne Palumbo and myself, Christina LaRusso, recap and analyze episodes, delve into Anne Rice's library, and have in-depth discussions of other works about the supernatural. Today, we are going to be telling you a little bit about some of the changes to the podcast. As some of you may be aware, we have tragically lost our third co-host, my partner, Mark Snedeker. We're going to be telling a little bit about what happened with him, and then we're going to go on to discuss the now infamous Jones Cut, an over 3 minute long trailer that is absolutely epic in scope and makes all of us very, very excited for the season 2 premiere. We're also going to dive into controversy or potential controversy. So thank you very much for joining us each week. If you do like us, share us with a friend. So let's talk about what happened with Mark, my podcast co-host and your podcast co-host and kind of boyfriend.
I mean, we only dated for like a month, so you know, we never had a title on it, but he was my friend. We'll leave it at that. With benefits.
So of course Mark and I met Joanne through fandom discourse regarding a completely different fandom and became friends. And after we found out that Interview with the Vampire was going to be coming out on TV, we contacted Joanne and said, hey, we know you're into vampires, girl. Do you want to be a podcast co-host with us? And thankfully you said yes, Joe, because what the hell would I be doing now?
Be really awkward right now. Very quiet.
If it was just me and Mark, holy cow. So we were all friends. And on March 26th, I got a text message while I was traveling that was from Mark saying that he was being rushed to the hospital. And come to find out, he had suffered a kind of a minor stroke. At least that's how it was described to us initially. Any stroke is serious, but this one was described to be kind of minor. And in the end, I got back to see him. He was okay. He had a little bit of a speech issue and a little bit of weakness on his right side, but otherwise he was okay. You know, sitting up, talking, he was actually talking about doing the podcast. Cause I said, I go, I'm not sure that voice is going to work on the podcast. I said, I guess we'll have to pause it. And he said, oh no, I'll be fine. And he really did believe that.
Well, we all believed it, right? Cause we had some good news at one point.
Yeah. The prognosis seemed to be good. And then he took a turn for the worse. He was fine for 2 days and kind of on the mend. And then he took a really drastic turn for the worse. Not long after I left the hospital, he indicated after that episode that he did not want me to be there that night, but to come in the morning. And I suspect that's because he didn't want me to see him the way that he probably was. And then later that night, he just had a series of strokes and he went into seizures and they sedated him and intubated him, but it was clear from scans that he was gone. So we withdrew life support on the 2nd of April. We debated about doing it on April Fool's Day.
People understand we have very dark senses of humor. So we're going to laugh a little bit here because why not?
Of course. Can you imagine Mark wanting us to play it straight? He'd be like, God damn it, tell some jokes. And so Mark's legacy, in spite of what some have suggested might be as an internet troll, although he would have loved that as well. But his legacy is that he was an organ donor. And so we were able to...
You're going to make me cry.
I'm sorry. Was that he was able to save lives in the loss of his own. And I think that that is a really fine legacy for him to impart. And I hope that with his liver or kidneys and whatever else, I hope that some of his sense of humor is transferred into that individual, because boy, oh boy, did Mark ever make us laugh? And I guess that's the main thing that I've been hearing, Joe. How about you?
Yeah, his sense of humor, how intelligent he was, how witty he was. And I hate even saying that, because he knew how smart and funny he was, and he would rub it in everyone's face a little bit, you know, kind of in a joking way. But
was he joking?
maybe not. You know, but yeah, that's a lot of, you know, the messages that we got. And thank you to everybody for your kind messages. Getting choked up. It's been hard, you know, losing a friend. Obviously for Christina, it was a much more significant loss. I've only known Mark a few years. I've only met him twice in person, but, you know, got to know him very well, you know, with doing the podcast and everything. And, you know, I called him friend, and I will miss him. Sorry.
No, okay.
I will miss him greatly. And, you know, I know what he would say, and that would be, Joni, the show must go on.
Actually, correction, Donnie.
Joni or Donnie, whichever. The show must go on. And, you know, I want to say to him, like, you know, Mark, I guess you weren't immortal after all.
Bela Lugosi's dead. Holy cow.
When I said, do you want to be a vampire? You should have just said yes, because you'd be here right now recording with us. No, I mean that with all the love in the world. Mark would want me to make that lame ass joke because that's Mark. He would not want anybody crying or being sad over him. Maybe a little bit, but not too much. But yeah, so Christina, I love you. I am forever sorry for your loss. Sorry for Mark's family's loss, and to the, you know, vampire community that so greatly respected him. I'm sorry for all of your losses as well, because it is a great loss.
He would want us to continue on with the podcast. Absolutely, for sure, 100% he would. Now, that's going to mean that we're going to have quite a bit of change. And so this is like season one for us all over again, because we had to figure out what our rhythm would be last season when we were discussing the shows. And now this season, we've got a whole empty space for us to have to fill. So what I do know is coming for us on Vampire Insider is, as always, we are a fan podcast done by fans for fans. And we are going to be opening up the empty seat to a variety of guests each week. So I have confirmed a couple of people already who will be joining us, and they will add a third level of interpretation to our own discussions.
That's good news, Christina, because otherwise you'd have to get a hell of a lot funnier and I'd have to get a hell of a lot smarter. So...
It's true. It's true. Well,
big shoes to fill.
It is. It's extremely big shoes to fill. So we're going to do that. And then we are also going to have Joe, or the other Joe, who is at Inky Blot Post, has agreed to serve as our master Easter egg wrangler. That's a working title. I'm not sure what it's going to end up being. Halfway through the season, Joe is going to come on and talk to us about the Easter eggs that we've seen in the first four episodes. And then after the last episode recap, then we'll have Joe back on and she'll talk to us about the final four episodes, Easter eggs, and little things that we might be seeing that foreshadow a future, like a season three future.
What about some other things? Are we still going to, have... Body count.
Body count is still going to be there. We are still going to be having the commercials.
Yay!
That was one of the things also that I heard a lot of in comments, and then also to me in DMs personally, were people saying...
I wrote most of those.
Yes, you did. You did. So, I mean, it's not going to be...
He wrote some. I take that back. He did write some, but mine were better.
Yeah, actually, to be true, yours were...
He got too technical with his. Mine were a little funnier and free flowing. So rest assured, people, the funny commercials will be flowing.
They will. They definitely will. I think, and then we'll have the regular segments, you know, sort of standout character and, you know, quick recap, hot take of the episode. And then we gave up book versus movie last season, but I think we'll dabble a little bit in that. Mm-hmm. This season still, but it might not just be its own full segment. So we've got some work to do in terms of figuring out what we want to make this look like. But I'm very excited for the, you know, next several weeks as we gear up for and then enjoy the 8-episode arc of season 2 of Interview with the Vampire. Okay, so did you watch the Jones cut?
I did, yes.
All right, so I want to watch it one more time.
Okie dokie.
It is how it happened. I didn't think it at the time. But, yeah.
May I make an observation?
I've lost control of the interview.
Yes.
He's skilled.
He wants you in pieces for the privilege of putting them back together as he sees fit.
It's his job.
It's his drug. He's reveling in it. You should end it.
Session 10, the vampire Louis and the vampire Armand.
You have our attention. Are you two going to finish each other's sentences for the whole session?
We've been together 77 years, Daniel. Should we let the math of that settle?
Say something, your Claudia.
Spark in the dark.
I want to say something to you. Our life is shit. It's been shit. It is shit. It's gonna be shit again. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. A shit life beats no life. And where we're going now can't be running away again. We're gonna find others like us. We can't be the only good ones out there.
Welcome! We here at Théâtre des Vampires delve into the underbelly of the human soul. We do horror shows so we can eat people!
Lestat.
There is no scripting, Lestat. You cannot script a hurricane.
Let me guess, he's your companion, finally. Picked another one over me!
Paris sucks.
That's not the point she was making.
Fuck these vampires.
I'm gonna get out alive.
You fear Armand. You should fear the other one.
You're not here. I'm just fucked in the head.
You're stronger.
Uh-huh.
Harder, too. But you gotta give up something to get something.
It's with me. Me and you. You and me. Me and you. You and me.
I mean, you don't understand the meaning of your own story!
I failed Louis once in my life. It wasn't in San Francisco. I was in love.
You buy that?
Fuck the hell with you! This is my life. Gone. I knew who I was without those pieces.
Just keep bubbling up.
I want this to remember.
God damn.
So good.
God damn, that is so good. Oh my God, that trailer. The music. I'll tell you what, the thing for me is I can just sit and listen to the music and the words and not even look at the screen, and I am moved.
Yeah, I mean, when you were just replaying it, obviously I couldn't see it, but I could hear it, and I could just see them in my mind's eye, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. It's going to be really, really amazing to have the show back, and I think this season is going to blow last season right out of the water.
Last season was so terrific. Such a great freshman season. And you know, you can go into the sophomore year and it can be a rough one, right? Like it can be unsteady the sophomore year. And I just don't see that happening here. Not with this kind of talent. Like they edited a trailer like that. Come on.
Yeah. Imagine what the episode is going to be like. Now with this particular trailer, what was your favorite scene from it, do you think?
I have to tell you, my fascination with Armand continues to grow. And I got a little bit of a little butterflies feeling when they're all seated around the table.
Oh, God.
No, when they're seated around the table and Armand says, like, enough, and they all fall down on the table.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, Armand, I see you. And I'm like 100% here for it. And Armand has to be that to be attractive to Louis, I think. Louis needs someone that's going to be like boss Armand.
He needs a dog.
He does. I mean, what's he going to do? Go from Lestat to some dud? No. But he couldn't go from like Lestat to like a weakling. He's got to go from Lestat to someone that even appears stronger or more prepossessed or more together than Lestat.
I wonder if Armand thinks that he's more of a big bad than Lestat, because there's the one scene where he's saying over and over, Lestat, Lestat, Lestat. There's no scripting, Lestat. You can't script a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And to think of somebody as a hurricane, you'd have to think they were pretty fierce. So I wonder if Armand thinks, you know, is Lestat crazier than he is? Which, in that scene, to be fair, there's Lestat chewing on a piece of paper. So I don't know what the hell's going on. But I need more about that.
And the other scene where he's like skittling across the ground on his back, like Jesus. An upside down spider or something. Well, okay. Canonically, right? Lestat is the more powerful.
Sure.
Ultimately. But Armand is, he is fascinated by Lestat. He really loves Lestat. Armand really loved and wanted to be with Lestat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see some of that in the series because we're going to get, you know, we've got a couple of those scenes with Armand and Lestat together.
There's that one scene in this trailer where Armand biting Lestat or vice versa? It's
Lestat biting Armand's wrist. And I mean, like, it doesn't look like he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to.
It looks sexual.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Of course. Of course it does. It does. I'm interested to see those interactions because the world, as much as they revolve around Louis and think Louis is the most beautiful and everything else, you know, obviously the sun is Lestat. He is the sun in this universe and everybody's orbiting around him. Even Armand.
Yes, I agree with that. For me, I'm really excited to see the scene because it's something I would say, where Daniel is reading out of Claudia's journal and he said, oh, she didn't like Paris, and he says something else and he goes, she wrote, fuck these vampires.
Yeah, fuck these vampires. I am here for it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Now, I know that you have had a little bit of, I don't know, hesitation when it comes to saying much about Delaney. And I'm going to let you not say anything if you still don't want to. But with every single trailer that I see, I am more and more convinced that she is going to kill it this season.
Here's the thing. Okay. I've learned something about myself this recently. I didn't like Lestat at first. I didn't like Claudia at first. Then I ended up loving both of them. I'm not crazy about Delaney. Perfect example, right? The Tortured Poets Department from Taylor Swift just came out. I did not like the song Fortnite. Now it's like my favorite song. And I've come to realize that if my gut reaction to something is I don't like it at first, after a little bit, it tends to become my favorite. I don't know what it is with me, but so I kind of have this weird feeling that because I don't really like Delaney, sorry, Delaney, because I think I just fell so much in love with Bailey Bass that I have this feeling that after like the first episode, I'm going to be like, I loved her. I love her. She's the best. It should have been her from the beginning.
Well, for me, one of the things that I'm most interested in is understanding the little costume that she's wearing that's making her look like a very little girl.
Yeah, it's like Raggedy Ann and Andy. That's who I'm thinking of. Raggedy Ann and Andy.
It is. It's like that, or Alice in Wonderland, or something like that. But it makes her look very, very young, right? Much younger than she even is.
Like a rag doll.
Yeah. And I think that that's an important thing that is a little bit drawing on the spirit of who Claudia is in the book. Because, of course, in the book, she's very, very young. And so I have this feeling that somehow that might be an allusion to that or a nod to it. And I love that. I love that because it highlights, in a way, the precarious position that she's in when she's there with those vampires. And I mean, it's interesting that she's like, fuck those vampires, because she's not, because Claudia in the book is afraid of them.
I don't think this version of Claudia is afraid of anything.
Or isn't she? I mean, do you think that Claudia is concerned about the fact that Lestat probably didn't really die?
I think maybe she knows that he didn't die, right? And I'm sure it concerns her. But also, I think up until that moment where she sees his picture hanging in the theater, I think she thought they were relatively safe and he wouldn't find them, or he wouldn't go looking for them or something, which is obviously a very big miscalculation on her part. And I also think that maybe the fact that she outsmarted him, because remember, everything leading up to his attempted murder, it was a well laid out plan, from the Polish immortal where she beat him, to everything that she did leading up to it was all calculated, and she thought she had the perfect plan. And I think she may be a little cocky in underestimating these vampires and kind of thinking to herself, well, I defeated the biggest, baddest asshole on this earth of a vampire. These guys are nothing. Hence, fuck these vampires.
Fuck these vampires, yeah. Or just fuck these vampires. I don't want to be around them.
Yeah.
Because the way that they're setting it up in the trailers, and we saw the earlier trailers obviously show the scene where Louis and Armand are outside the chateau while it's being raided by vampires.
Claudia being one of them, viciously ripping grown men to pieces. Go, girl.
She is. She is. And Claudia, she's a spark in the dark.
You don't say.
So she's a part of all of that and seems to be enjoying it, right? But in the book, she's afraid of them. And in the further trailers, we learn that she's like, well, fuck those vampires. So,
well, to be fair, in the book, she was a toddler.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, true. When I was a toddler, I'd be afraid of vampires too.
Fair. Well, you know, I was rereading the second half of the book just in preparation for this season to happen. And I have to tell you, it's improving on me. And I think it's improving on me because it was never, well, first of all, it was never my favorite part of the book, but I think that it's improving on me because I'm seeing the adaptation, or bits of the adaptation, of what that second half of the book is going to look like.
Is it meeting what you kind of would have wanted?
Oh yeah. It's exceeding expectations, because my expectations always for the second half of that story are pretty low. You know, the bar is low. the bar is essentially, you've got to get over Antonio Banderas. And I thought he was great as Armand, but he wasn't Armand, you know. But like, already we're leaps and bounds above all of that. Although the movie has its place and you love it.
I do love it. And you know what? And when you said about Antonio Banderas, I don't know why I just thought of this now, but how jumping the shark would it be if they had like Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise make like a vampire cameo in the background somewhere?
Oh my God.
I don't know why that stupid thought just popped in my head. I'm like, but how funny would it be if they were like one of the theater vamps or something?
I don't know if that would strike exactly the right tone that we want to go for.
I would love it. Fuck everybody else. I'd love it.
You love Tom Statt. You really do. You love Tom Statt and you love Brad. I don't know what Brad's Louis name is.
Hot. I don't know.
It would be silly, and I absolutely, no way. But all right. I mean, you can think that, but no.
It's right up there with Claudia living.
Yeah. Also, hard no. And I think we see that.
I really live in it. I am deluded. You are. I think I'm deluded. Delulu, but all right.
I know at least one or two people, though, who would love to sign on to your Delulu, which is to see Claudia continue to live. Look, at the end of the day, Claudia can continue to live at least as a recurring character just because of her ghost.
Right, right. Of course. Yeah, there'll always be flashbacks. And I know we've touched on this in other episodes about how they're going to handle like a flashback, because I did read an article yesterday that massive fight scene between Louis and Lestat, you know, the infamous fight yes. scene, is revisited. Yes. Now, are they going to revisit it around Claudia, or are they going to stick Delaney in those parts? Like, how will they do that?
They will show it from Louis's point of view. It will not be from Claudia's point of view. So you've already seen Claudia's point of view, and they believe me, those showrunners know that people have seen that episode and understand what Claudia's point of view is, because of course that's one of the most hotly debated episodes of season one.
One of the biggest controversies in the season, the other I think being her sexual assault.
Oh, well, obviously. Same episode though. That was a doozy of an episode.
I wonder if we're going to have any controversy this season, because I love a good controversy.
Oh, I think that there is going to be controversy, and that's actually something I want to talk about once when we finish the conversation about the trailer. Remind me, please, because I'd like to revisit. So another standout moment for me in the trailer is that we get to see Luke Brandenfield back as young Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to get to see a lot of what went on in San Francisco. And I'm very excited to see how they deal with that. I love the scene of Armand again going, Lestat, 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 Lestat.
Right?
I just love it because you can sense his frustration. People who were concerned that you're just not going to see enough Sam Reed in this season, I think rest easy. I think that Lestat is literally, well, I mean, we've seen evidence of it. He's haunting them as sort of a probably like a memory mm-hmm. that Louis is having, or Louis's conscience or whatever.
Or maybe he's just talking about him
or
too much.
Or he's talking about him too much, yeah.
The way that they cut the trailer of Lestat, 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 and then like I said earlier, he's just chewing like a rat, just chewing on a piece of paper randomly. I want to know everything that goes on that leads to that scene, because that was bizarre. Yep.
And then we have also, I've seen in trailers where we get Lestat in his acting days. We're also going to get Nikki, which is very exciting to me. So Nikki, you would remember Nikki showing up at the beginning of the vampire Lestat.
Yes. And I saw someone on Twitter today say that they think somebody turned, like, is Nikki a vampire? And if so, who turned him?
Yeah, well, they're wondering if it's going to be that Armand turns Nikki instead of Lestat turning Nikki. But that goes to this other thing that I want to talk to you about. So, but the tension between Louis and Armand over Lestat and who Lestat is to Louis, and how he, in spite of the fact that he has been gone, and I think that they're going to allow, Louis's going to believe that Lestat burned in the theater. I think that that's going to be carried on. Then he doesn't realize that Lestat is still alive. I think it's going to come as a surprise to Louis at the end to kind of suss out that Lestat is probably still alive.
I can't wait to see his face.
I think that Lestat is going to have this really profound impact, even if he's not in every scene.
His presence is going to be felt in every scene.
At all times.
He's going to be the main character even when he's not in a lot of the scenes. He's going to be the driving force behind a lot of what we're seeing. That's my prediction.
Well, he's always going to be just a part of things, like in people's memory. And one of the things that's very intriguing about this trailer is they've changed it from memory is a monster to memory is the
yes.
monster.
Which brings me to my next point of you. One of the controversies last season, right, was that a lot of people, myself included, you too, that our mom was fucking with Louis's memory.
Yes.
I think that's going to play out big in this. And I think he screwed a lot with Daniels, obviously, and Louis. And I think that's going to be a big focus in the Dubai scenes.
I am on board with you about this. I have up until now kind of resisted exactly what you said. They are going to show that Armand is heavily influencing certain things about memory here. Or it's stuff that both Louis and Daniel have independently and spontaneously wanted to forget themselves, so they've somehow suppressed these memories themselves. That doesn't seem plausible. So something has interfered with their ability to remember things.
Yeah, especially in Daniel's case.
Daniel could say, well, it could be, you know, drugs. I was on drugs for that whole thing. And like, maybe now this will help his memory come back. But I still think that Daniel his memory has been interfered with in some way for some reason.
Well, and then there's that scene towards the end of the trailer where Louis is kind of whining and crying. And he says something about, I want to remember, the pieces are coming back and I'm remembering. There's something he says, I can't remember exactly, ironically. So there's definitely things that Louis is starting to remember. I want to know what those are.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's a good question. What could be some of the things that Louis has forgotten? And I'm wondering if it's sort of the circumstances around Claudia's death and what exactly those are.
Literally what I was going to say, because there's that part where Armand says, I've never let Louis down except for
once. And it wasn't in San Francisco.
Exactly. And I wonder if he altered or suppressed some memories surrounding Claudia's death. And maybe he's saying that to Daniel and Louis's not there. And he didn't want him to know that he's the one that killed Claudia or was involved in Claudia's death, whatever the case is. Could be, right? Because it's not going to follow the book exactly.
No, it's not.
It's going to be a little different from the book. So what if Louis has no recollection right now, present day Dubai, that Armand played a hand in Claudia's death?
The other side of that coin, or a similar suggestion, is, and I think I saw this on Twitter today or yesterday, the supposition, so the sort of the question, what if Armand really couldn't have prevented it, which would have a different, meaning, because in the book, Armand certainly could, he admits, I mean, he could have prevented it. He did not. And in fact, did fucked up even weirder shit to her, like cut her head off and put it on a woman's body. Right. So we know, I mean, and boy, I really kind of wanted the Frank and Claudia. I thought that they might push that envelope. So I kind of hope that he is still, not only could he have prevented it, he could have prevented, you know, trying to put her together with a, you know, an adult body. Like, so he could have prevented all of that. But so what does that mean? Like, does that mean that he couldn't have prevented it? And that's the twist for us as readers or people who know the material? I don't know. Like, what is the twist? Or all along, Louis thought Armand could have prevented it, but there was no way for him to prevent it. That doesn't make sense. So I don't know.
It could be. It could be either way, I think. Might be nothing that we're even thinking of. The way that these writers have been so creative with thinking outside the box and doing things unexpected that have a little piece of the book here, but they've spun it into something completely different. So time is going to tell.
Yeah, for sure. What else about the trailer stands out to you?
So I believe it's David from Talamasca.
Oh, yes.
Who is, yeah, sitting with Daniel. And he said, you fear Armand, but it's the other one.
Yeah, which
fear.
One?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Which one? Yeah. But I just assumed it was Louis.
Speaking of controversy, the fact that Justin Kirk is the actor who plays that character. We know that that's Justin Kirk. There has been speculation about which character Justin Kirk was destined to play but in the fandom. There have been a couple of things thrown out there. One, Marius. A lot of people, I think, just knowing Justin Kirk's body of work, and just they kind of went, ooh, he could be a great Marius. Another theory is that he is David Talbot. Then there's a third spoilery thing that was released, and I'm not going to talk about it on this. You can go try and find it on Twitter, everyone, if you want to talk about that. But I'm not going to include leaked information from the screeners that went out. That's not helpful to anyone.
No.
But so David Talbot or Marius? And I lean towards David. I think it's David. And here's why I think it's David. I think it's David because we learned at the upfronts recently, like last weekend, if I guess that was, that they are going forward with the Talamasca, the show, the Talamasca. So that's a third entry into the Anne Rice universe on AMC.
Wow.
And I wonder if, you know, like Justin Kirk's a pretty big deal. And I wonder if they aren't going to give him his own kind of spin-off series. Like he'll spin off into the Talamasca, and then that's where crossover action will happen on the Talamasca, not the Mayfair Witches.
But how can he spin off as David Talbot when David is already on the Mayfair Witches?
David isn't on the Mayfair Witches. No, yeah. Cyprian Green is on the Mayfair Witches. Yeah. Instead of Aaron Leitner, you've got Cyprian Green. So David Talbot is nowhere. So I think he can spin off into Talamasca. That's who I think it is. But, you know, there are a lot of arguments for it to be Marius. Mark, one of the last things that Mark and I talked about before he went into the hospital was the fact that that rumor was out there that, oh, no, it had to have been Marius, not David Talbot. And then Mark goes, well, what? Like Clark Kent, like those glasses are going to mask that he's, if he's Marius, with or without glasses. And so the glasses aren't a great disguise. And I was like, well, fair.
Can I just say that kind of reminds me of Mark?
Yeah, he did a little bit, right?
Doesn't he? Looks like a little bit.
Yeah, he kind of does. Not yet, yeah, but he's got round glasses instead. Mark's glasses were.
Damn it, Mark would have loved that.
Mark would have loved that. So yeah, I think that I would say David, but I've been wrong about David before.
Oh yes, the infamous.
The infamous Rashid / David. That still would have been a beautiful, beautiful plot twist. I can't believe it. There's a scene, if you stop screen it, if you pause it, there's a scene where the out of Lestat's neck is coming a little bird.
A rat. Oh, is it a bird? I thought it was a rat.
It's a bird, which makes it even better, Joanne.
What does that mean, Christina?
I did not invent this, but I did. So because all of this stuff was going on, this stuff was dropping when Mark was sick. And so I hadn't really given the trailer the watching it deserved. And so I went, after things kind of cleared up, I went back and I watched it. And I was going like frame by frame by frame. And then I saw this thing with Lestat with the thing in his neck. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I crowdsourced this. I'm like, everyone, what is this in his neck? Like the dummy that I am, everybody else had been having discourse about this thing for whatever a week. And I'm like, woo, look what I found. Tell me, what do you guys think this is? But so it is a bird. And then there was some conjecture in that thread that I started on Twitter at Christina Gen X, everyone, that the bird signified the Paul, like Paul's birds. Remember from season one?
Oh, because he killed Paul.
I knew that you would think that. I don't know if that's what it means. But immediately when people started saying, oh, yeah, that's a parallel to Paul's birds.
Am I going to finally be vindicated that he had something to do with Paul's death?
I don't know. Maybe you will be. I guess it could be. There's like bird symbolism that runs through interview with Paul, but then also into Mayfair Witches. Remember every time she was killing something, birds were flying around?
Ugh, don't remind me of that show. I just remember her mouth being open the whole time. That's all.
Oh, the whole time. God, please shut it. She looked like a guppy. So I think that the bird might have something to do with Paul's birds. I liked that interpretation. And if it has something to do with Paul's birds or is in some way parallel to Paul's birds, that does nothing to help the people who think that Lestat was not in some way influencing Paul's decision.
See, when I stopped and paused it, I thought it was a rat. I guess maybe I just wasn't looking at it clear enough. I thought it was a rat, and he was like, you know, obviously it's a scene where he's, you know, imagining Lestat there. And I thought it was like supposed to symbolize that they left him in like a dump or something. So there was like a rat crawling out of his throat.
Well, that is very literal, Joanne, and exactly what could have happened. But you weren't the only one that saw a rat, but then someone like you know, as the fandom does, you guys. And like I said many, many times, if you are not at least following along with the fandom on Twitter, it doesn't mean that you have to interact, but just to follow along. Oh, my goodness. There are so many clever.
Oh, these people are so smart. It's amazing.
They're so clever. So someone, you know, like enhanced the photo so that you could really see it more clearly, lightened up. And so
I'm not even going to go back and look. The fact that someone in that the majority of the fandom said it's a bird. It's a fucking bird. I don't need to go back and look.
It's a bird.
When at the very beginning, they're talking about the interview with it's Armand and Louis referencing Daniel in the interview. And Armand says something to the effect, I'm summarizing here. He wants you in pieces so he can put you back together again. Louis says it's his job. And Armand says it's his drug. You should end it. Last season, Armand wanted him to stop the interview because it was, you know, he was writing his death note or suicide note or whatever, you know, because all the other vampires are going to come kill him. Now he wants him to end it because he's got some issue with Daniel and, you know, saying he's kind of playing him, I guess. Maybe that means he wants you in pieces so he can put you back together again.
Yeah, he gives Daniel an awful lot of credit there because Daniel's a great interviewer, but I don't know. Like, is he really tearing Louis apart? Clearly, Louis has lost control of the interview, which is what he says
about losing control.
Right. Which prompts the question then for me. Why did Louis want to be in control of the interview, or did Louis?
Or did Armand want Louis to be in control?
Or did Armand want Louis to be in control? Or did Armand want to be ultimately the one that's in control?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, he is the one that's sitting there with and attracts with who Armand is canonically, particularly in, you know, Coven life and in Théâtre de Vampire life, is the element of control, and Armand as the boss, mm-hmm. As much as he demurs from it in interview, and then he says repeatedly in the book, oh, I'm not really the leader here. I take on the thing that they give me only to keep them at a distance, and he tries to downplay his role of authority in the théâtre. But, okay, so then what's the control thing? What is it that they... what is the meaning of this interview? What is the point of this interview? Because if Louis is actually on, what did he say? Truth and reconciliation. If he is actually on some kind of journey to try and recover his own memories,
then why does he need to control it?
Then why? He'd want to give up control. He'd want to select Daniel because Daniel is precisely the guy who can take him to pieces and put him back to rights, right? He would think that about Daniel. Armand seems to be concerned about him losing control, i.e. Armand losing control. So, you know, then it goes back to this overarching question, which is, what is the point of all of this? Why is this happening? Why is there a second interview? Why is all of this occurring? And I think that that's exciting because that says, and what we have all heard multiple times from the showrunners, is that Dubai is on fire this year.
Right.
So I really need to know what's going on in Dubai. It's exciting. I can't wait. Okay, but that's a good segue for us.
Controversy.
All right. So in a recent interview, it has been said that there is going to be a sick twist. Like, there's going to be some kind of crazy twist that is not in the books, but makes sense. It's not in the first book, I guess, but makes sense in the Chronicles as a whole.
Hmm.
So
Claudia lives now.
I
that wouldn't make any sense.
No, that wouldn't.
So what do you think that could be?
I immediately went to that thing about Paul.
That he killed Paul?
That he had a hand in that.
From your lips to God's ears, because...
Well, I know you really want that. I'm not sure that I want
that. I'm going to take a victory lap.
But I don't know if that is something that they would do. I kind of would hope not. I hope not, because I don't want because my God, how much more do they have to pile on Lestat to be a bad guy?
True.
Like, how bad does he have to be?
I feel like they already insinuated it when they did the the Spanish Inquisition on Lestat. So I don't think it would be like a big shocking revelation, because I feel like they kind of played into it a little bit there. I mean, I know Louis just asked him if he did it or not, but the fact that they even just brought it up, that's what, you know, sold me on the fact that he did have something to do with it. I don't, I mean, it could be it, obviously, for personal reasons. I want it to be.
So that you can say you were right?
Yeah. That's my personal reasons. Yes. What other fucking reason would I have? I don't care. Yes, I want it to be right.
Peppermint fucking Patty.
You know it. But no, I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I just don't think, Christina, that that's going to be, if it's supposed to be something shocking, something enough that he carved out an answer or a space for it in an interview, I think it's going to be something that we're not seeing coming. What's the word on the tweet about it? What are their theories?
Okay, so here are a couple of people that answered the question that we posed. First person is called Ryan at Stupid Sad Bitch One. This is Ryan. So I think the twist might be those who must be kept being in the basement of the Dubai house because of that scene where Daniel asks what the noise is and Armand says, we call it the groan. That's plausible, honestly.
That could be it. That would be pretty shocking. It's a big plot twist. It definitely plays into future books and the way things played out in the whole storyline.
Mm-hmm. It could be. That's feasible. It really could be. That would mean that Marius is there in Dubai, unless they're going to just put Armand in charge of those who must be kept, and Marius, for various and sundry reasons, is not going to appear as Marius. Because how he and Armand got together is, you know, obviously that's a...
Can't do that on TV.
It's triggering to many people.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing about that, but that is the case. Okay. Lestat Baby, who also has the nickname Letitz de Lemon Cream.
Not only are the people in this fandom funny and creative and know this whole work of art inside and out, they're funny as fuck with their names.
Are funny. Letitz de Lemon Cream at Lestat _ baby. And actually it was probably Lemon Creme, but
I'm going to change my name to
Letitz Palumbo.
Letitz Orange Peel or something. I don't know. I got to think of it.
I just like Letitz Palumbo. I just think that's good. All right. So this person says, my mind says it's about the trial, but my silly heart says it's Armand Stott and or Lestat showing up in Dubai.
Oh, please have him show up in Dubai.
I just want, and here's the thing. We don't know what episode 8 is called or the final. We're assuming it's episode 8. I would assume that it's episode 8. We just don't know the title to it. Because there's 8 episodes. We know the titles to 7 of them. We don't know the 8th. So I'm kind of hoping that one is, you know, like maybe the first line of the vampire Lestat.
Oh, right. Okay. Something to clue in that it's going to be, he's going to show up.
It would start out like, I am the vampire Lestat. That'd be a great title for the 8th episode, or, you know, introducing the rock star Lestat or something like that.
Oh, tough cookie. Tough cookie. We gotta, they have to do a tough cookie now.
There's gotta be a tough cookie. So we could have the rock music, you know, rock star Lestat. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know, but like, could it be about the trial? Could it be that Lestat in some way, I don't know, does something at the trial that he doesn't do in the books, or maybe Lestat is in the theater when it burns? That would be in line with canon. They could make it make sense elsewhere, because in the book, Lestat burns in the house, in the townhouse. He doesn't just get thrown into the swamp. He comes back and he accosts them in the townhouse. And so then Louis burns the house down around him, right? The townhouse burns down around him. And then they take off for Europe. I mean, it may be then that instead of that burning, then somehow comes back to life. I don't know. I don't
think we have enough information yet to really kind of make a guess, because we just, even though we've gotten a lot of scenes in various different trailers, because there's been like how many trailers, you know?
Oh, a bunch of them.
Right. So, but we don't know the order of the scenes. We really don't know a lot of what we're looking at. And typically what a lot of shows do is they make you think you're seeing something in a preview and it's completely different.
Or like they did with season 1, there were scenes that never actually made it into the series at all. Or at least, yeah,
was
there at least one scene, I believe, in an early trailer that never quite not in the same way made it into the series. So
when I said earlier about controversy, I was also referring to kind of like fuck ups with the show, you know, kind of how they, you know, people were in an uproar about the fight scene. People were in an uproar about the sexual assault. I wonder if they're going to fumble the ball at all this season, or did they learn another thing that when they didn't put the domestic violence trigger warning on their episode, right? Like, do you think that just from a production standpoint that they've kind of learned their lesson from the things, you know, things like that? Or do you think that they're going to be more sensitive to the viewers this season?
Well, I certainly hope, like, I hope so. If they're going to have something that's like super triggering for people, and not everybody's, you know, like us.
Not just the trigger warning. Right. Not just the trigger warning, though, but just like, you know, how that episode was just a lot for everybody, you know, the domestic violence scene.
I do not think that they are going to back off of that for a minute. I think I read that Hannah Moskowitz has actually addressed that and just sort of said they were fighting. Vampires would fight extra.
Right. That's how I took it, as I wasn't offended by that, but I know that a lot of people were. But the one thing that I was kind of annoyed with was the sexual assault of Claudia just for the sake of teaching her a lesson, and the lazy writing of that. I'm hoping that they've grown out of that.
I got you. Yeah. No, I can't imagine, but I mean, I could never have imagined that, because I could never have imagined that scene. I could never have imagined.
They fumbled the ball a few times, personally, I think, but let's hope they learned. And
I don't know. I mean, I think here's my opinion. I was with you, as you know, about the sexual assault scene when it aired. But I also think that we have to trust the writers, and that in the end, the only thing that I wish they hadn't done the sexual assault. What I found really objectionable about it was that later on, Lestat referred to it in the tickets, please scene as a way to taunt her. And I thought, okay, that's a bridge too far.
Right.
Like, let's not do that. You know, that really was too much. So I hope nothing more like that. But you know what? I trust the writers. I think they've done such a fantastic job so far. The big mystery to me, and the biggest controversy that I would feel next season, for this coming season, is if it did not get recognized for awards at all. To have it so firmly shut out for anything. For anything, costuming, makeup, nothing. It's a shutout for everything. Okay, well, I guess what we will do is have Joe, you take us out.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to our episode of our review on the season 2 trailer, The Jones Cut. Hope you enjoyed our show. And if you did, please remember to share us with your friends. You can find us on Twitter at @vampire_insider. And you can also follow Christina on Twitter at @ChristinaJen. And you can also follow Christina on Twitter at @ChristinaJenX. As always, have a great night. Christina, good night.
Good night.
Sorry, that was just made it really real.
I know.
Not being like, good night, Mar. I can re-record that if you want. I don't think I did a good job at it.
No, you did. You did a good job. I think we'll leave it in. I think we'll leave it in. Because it's real. Joe, look, it's real. We are going to miss him, and it's real. And I think it's important for people to know how important he was to us, and what exactly he meant to us. And
it was just, it's just weird not being like, nightmare.
I know. Well, tell me.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's I know. No, but I mean, no, it's really weird.
We've been doing that the same way for over a year, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm sitting here in a closet.
I know. God, it's got to be so bizarre
it's
for
very
you.
Very bizarre. I've sat across the table from him doing podcasts literally thousands of hours. I calculated it. Thousands of hours.
Yeah, literally.
And, between this one and Gen X Temporaneous. And it's really, really hard to imagine that he's gone. And I miss his brain. I miss having conversations with him. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it. I think it's very real.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.